Good morning.
Oops.
Sorry. Good morning. This is At Issue. I was having a little bit of a technical problem, but I think we're in business now. We are broadcasting from the Hudson Studio. This is WGXE 90.7 FM. This is At Issue, and I'm Victor Mandoli. I'm the host of the show, and I'm here today with Teresa Lux. Good morning.
Good morning.
Teresa is the Executive Director of Catholic Charities, and we are here to talk a little bit about what Catholic Charities does, but we are mostly going to be talking about the Promised Neighborhood Grant that was recently awarded to Catholic Charities. But why don't you give us a little background on what Catholic Charities does as an agency to start with?
Sure. Catholic Charities of Columbia and Greene County has been in existence for about 33 years. We have several programs, but our main focus has always been advocating for those in need, particularly the poor, the children, and the vulnerable. So we've got several programs, such as the Women, Infant, Children program, which is WIC. Most people know that. It's a supplemental nutrition program. They can get checks, go to the store, get their milk, peanut butter, fruits, and vegetables. We do farmer market coupons through that so that they've got the food that they need to stay healthy and to continue to grow. We also do a substance abuse prevention education program that's throughout Columbia County. We're pretty heavy in the Hudson area, working through the schools, helping children make good choices, build their self-esteem, anger management, but mostly stay away from things that are bad for their bodies.
Mm-hmm.
We have some family-focused programs, we do some parenting classes, we do some supervised visitation, and we have a kinship program where we're helping the parents who, well, helping the children who are now living with different caregivers, the grandparents, aunts, and uncles. And one of our newest programs prior to the Promised Neighborhood was our food stamp program, Nutrition Outreach Education Program. It's a very fancy name, but what it entails is helping individuals enroll in food stamps, advocating for them if they run into some barriers, helping them recertify. But all of our programs have this base of helping individuals meet their basic needs and then going beyond so that they can live to their fullest potential.
So the food stamp program, it's mainly like helping people navigate the DSS system.
You can apply for food stamps online or in hard copy. So we help them see if they're eligible, see if they qualify, and then mm-hmm. help them gather the information, know what they are going to need, help them fill out those forms. They've got the clients fill the forms out themselves, but help them understand what that's all about.
Mm-hmm.
And then it goes to the county DSS, who makes the determination. That's followed up with a phone call. And we just kind of prepare them that they're going to be getting a phone call. We help them understand the system and the process. But we're also doing education to the community of letting them know that this is out there. This is a service that you might be eligible for.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to choose between heat this winter or eating. So there's a lot of educational components that go with it that this is something that you can utilize. And please do utilize it. It's
right
there for you to use.
And I noticed that you do HIV case management as well. What does that entail?
That's our sister agency, Catholic Charities AIDS Services.
Mm-hmm.
And they're based in Albany, but they serve the 14 counties in the Diocese of Albany. And it's a case management. They help individuals be linked up with their doctors. They help them with housing. They help them with some legal pieces and
mm-hmm.
components.
And how is it different than what the AIDS
the AIDS Council?
Yeah, the AIDS Council provides.
It's probably similar.
Uh-huh. It's like an overlap. There's an overlap in there.
Yeah, clients get to choose then.
Uh-huh.
Both organizations serve Columbia and Greene County, so the clients then have a choice of which organization they'd
right,
like to have.
Them. Okay. So, and why don't you just tell us a little bit about your background?
Sure. I'm a New York State certified teacher, but I started my career in Head Start, and I loved the younger kids, and I recognized that that's where you make a huge difference. So I spent most of my years working in Head Start and daycare. I did a little bit of residential school work, and then I came to Catholic Charities almost 10 years ago to work on the other end. I've always been educating children, and then I started in the family services program working with the parents,
mm-hmm.
helping improve their parenting skills. And a year and a half ago, I became the executive director.
That's great. So just a reminder, I'm here with Teresa Lux, who's the executive director of Catholic Charities of Columbia and Greene County. Did I get that right?
Yes, you did.
And we are about to start talking about the Promised Neighborhood Grant that was recently awarded to Catholic Charities. So why don't you give us a little background on that and let people know about what is about to happen with that?
Sure. A little bit of background on the Promised Neighborhood Grant. This is the second year that the Obama administration as well as the Congress have approved funding for this planning grant. And it entails doing a really in-depth look at what services are out there, but more importantly, what are the needs? The focus is to help children cradle through college, to get to college, to get a career, to be successful. And at the heart of it is your education, recognizing that you need a good, solid education in order to be successful. The grants were eligible for people to apply for. You had to have a link with the school. So we're linked up with the Hudson City School District. They actually have asked Catholic Charities to work with them on this project. You have to have a school at the heart of it and recognizes that the schools don't work in isolation. There's a lot in the community that goes around. So it's an all-encompassing piece and component. But the end result is that we're going to improve the educational outcomes of the children. And we're going to transform the community that would be considered a distressed community. And looking at some of the poverty rates that are in the Hudson area, we qualified as that, being able to change that, to revitalize that and bring that forward. Mm-hmm. So this is the second year that they offered planning grants, and we were very fortunate. We spent almost a year and a half preparing for the planning grants. Mm-hmm. We met with different individuals throughout the county, and we talked about how this would be wonderful, this would be successful, this would really help the area. How can we do it? What are some of the needs? The youth department actually got a grant in 2008, and several individuals went down to see the Harlem Children's Zone in New York City. Mm-hmm. And the Promise Neighborhood is taken from that, but it also allows and recognizes that we're not in New York City, and we're not Harlem, and we're Hudson, and we have very different needs. Mm-hmm. And the Hudson City School District is not just the city, but it's got the rural aspects to it as well.
Right.
So we're fortunate with this planning grant to be able to take into factor all of these things that are us and make a unique system or a unique solution pipeline that's mm-hmm. going to work for the children in this area.
And what kind of dollars are you talking about for this grant?
We got a little over $400,000, $415,000, and that has been matched with in-kind services and some donations for other organizations throughout the area.
Mm-hmm. And so this is really just the preliminary first step. This is a planning grant to plan for a much bigger component. So why don't you tell our listeners about that?
It is in one manner. There is an implementation grant that can be applied for if the federal government, again, approves to have an implementation grant where there's a much more substantial amount of money to support the programs that you've decided through the planning year are going to be successful and that are going to lead to the results that you want. But I also look at it as a huge opportunity. The planning grant in itself is going to have an incredible outcome. We've talked many times in different meetings here and there what the needs are, and we have some kind of idea. But this planning grant allows us to talk and represent every single child in the school district, to talk to the parents, to talk to the children, to get it directly from them. Why are you going to college? Why are you not going to college? What's working for you? What's not working for mm-hmm. you? How do you view reading in the home? To get an in-depth, and from this study that we're going to be doing this planning year, spending time looking at what programs are out there, looking at what the needs are, from that we're going to know what's going to be needed. We also will be having a fund team, which will be looking at other streams of funding, not just for an implementation grant, but we have to do a substantial match in order to do the implementation grant, but also we want to be self-sufficient.
Mm-hmm.
This is a community effort. It's a whole encompassing effort. So at the end of this planning grant, we'll have very workable solutions that are based as much in evidence as they can be, based upon what we see the needs are, but we'll also have some funding streams so we can start implementing them and
right.
start making those changes.
And so, like, what are some of the changes that you think might be part of that?
One of the first things is we want to increase the graduation rate. You know, Hudson High School has the 59% graduation rate, and that's really incredibly low, so mm-hmm. that needs to be raised. And two of the schools are low performing.
Mm-hmm.
The school's been implementing a transformation model since 2006 to reform the schools.
Mm-hmm.
But ideally, we'll help them move forward in that process maybe a little bit faster and get the schools to be all successful, and therefore all the children within the school successful.
Right. So you mentioned like cradle to college. So what exactly does that mean? What does that entail?
During the year and a half that we planned for the planning grant, it was well understood and recognized that the early years of the child make a huge difference on their school performance and what happens at the end of the years. So when we're looking at outcomes and whether they're going to be successful in going to college or the career of their choice, we've got to start at the very beginning. We've got to start with them prenatally, which we do a lot of education with the WIC program on nutrition. But we've got to look at those early childhood years and give them a good base, give them good study habits, give them the thought and the hope that mm-hmm. college is something that can be happening, supporting education, building their self-esteem.
So it isn't just for children, but it's the parents of children as well.
It is. You can look at it. There's two populations. The target population are the children, but in order to be successful with the children, you've got to work in the community that they're with and have the parents be supportive of that.
Mm-hmm. And so where does like teenage pregnancy and all that stuff come into play in this?
Well, they're out there. We'll talk to them. We've got to find out what their needs are. That's mm-hmm. what the planning grant piece is. I can't give a direct solutions.
Right.
Because I'm really focusing on that the individuals have a voice and they have a say mm-hmm. to what's going on and what are they saying they need or what's preventing them from being able to move in that direction.
Right. So I understand about the Promise Neighborhood grant is that it's often encompasses a lot of other things like transportation and housing and all that stuff. So that do you see that being a part of this as well?
There are pieces of it. For our planning grant, we identified two key areas in addition to the educational outcomes. We identified early learning networks and building that support, and then we identified arts and humanities, recognizing that this is a huge area that's got lots of wealth of resources that we can utilize to build upon. Mm-hmm. Transportation is going to have an effect on individuals participating in the arts and humanities or participating after school activities. Housing is an issue. Feeling safe and secure, not worrying about your day-to-day of where I'm going to stay is going to have a huge impact on a child mm-hmm. as well as a parent. So those are things that will be looked at as well. But the component is always staying on that educational piece and component.
Right.
Yes, we're going to have a work group. There are going to be six work groups that are formed that will look at different elements. One of them will be support for parents. What do they need? That security piece of housing and food and physical security, emotional security. Another one is the early learning. Another one is school reform, arts and humanities, transition to adulthood, bridging that gap from college going to high school to college or to your career, what kind of supports they need. And then the last one is your physical and your mental health.
Mm-hmm. So the implementation grant is a huge amount of money. Is that...
This year, amounts were awarded between $4 to $6 million over a 5-year span.
Mm-hmm. So, for a district like ours, where we have a $4.5 million budget a year, that would make a huge difference in our ability to do these kinds of things. So you want to speak on that a little bit?
I can speak just a little bit because until we get there, we're not quite sure how it's going to look. But yeah, it's a huge influx of money into the economy. Mm-hmm. With a substantial match. We're a rural community according to the small rural schools. So Hudson Applies as a rural community. We would have to match what we get from the United States Department of Education 50%. So it's not just here's this money, you can do what you need. We've got to show that we're equally invested into the program
sure.
as well.
And where do you see that those dollars coming from, like private foundations and things?
There are foundations, there's grants, private businesses. The money doesn't have to be actual cash on the table in kind.
I see.
Volunteering to say, you know, I'm going to be part of this. We have that now with our planning grant. We had to also do a 25% match of what we're getting from the Department of Education. I'm committing to spend my time there. Or, I've got this room you can borrow and use this conference room. So some of it is in kind, but some of it is going to be some cash assistance.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So... what are the other services that you see a need for? Let's just say, because I know that it's hard to talk about the implementation, but you have had some time to look at these issues. So where do you see the deficiencies that might be addressed by the grants, both the implementation grant and the planning grant?
A a major piece of it is the living of security, being secure in where you're living, knowing that you can make it day to day, that you do have that roof over your head, that you do have enough food. We do have a food pantry at Catholic Charities, and we just continue to see incredible numbers of people who come in to the food pantry. They can't make it unless they go to our food pantry or unless they go to several food pantries, and they're on food stamps. I mean, that's the beauty of having the food stamp enrollment as well as the food pantry. We can make sure everything is linked. Mm-hmm. But when you're struggling with your day-to-day, and particularly in this lovely freezing cold weather that we have, how am I going to heat the home? You miss things. You miss the time and attention to spend time with your children or to have that quality time. Or you're working three or four jobs, so you can't spend time with them because right. you're so busy on that the day-to-day life piece and component. So that's something that needs to be looked at, and there needs to be some strengths built within the community. We've got a couple businesses coming in, which is great, so that there's actual employment mm-hmm. for the individuals, and they can work one job.
Right.
Maybe they can work two, but they don't have to be working crazy hours.
Right.
A lot of children will be on the very off schedules nowadays, especially when they're in the early childhood, because the parents work different shifts, so they will be at someone's house and then in the middle of the night then they come home, and then they're not going to be very productive the next day.
Right. Where do you see, I mean, there's the drug abuse component here, there's teenage pregnancy. I mean, is that's all these things are sort of pieces of the puzzle?
They're all pieces of the puzzle, and they're some of the things that we highlighted. We've got some issues with drug abuse and substance abuse. We've got issues with crime. We've got issues with teenage pregnancy, and that they're children themselves.
Right.
A little bit young for them to be raising children. So we've got to look at how we can help everyone make better choices, and when they're in a situation, help make it the best.
Mm-hmm. So, now you're a Catholic charity. So where does the Catholic doctrine come in, and where like do you feel that you're sort of independent of the church, and how does it work as far as the, you know?
Okay. Catholic Charities was actually established by a special act of Congress of New York State in 1917. We are what you could maybe consider the social arm of the church. We serve everybody regardless of religion with absolutely no discrimination. Where we get our mission is based upon some of the fundamentals within the Catholic doctrine, which are very similar to the social work profession. Solidarity, working together, subsidiary, making decisions at the lowest level possible. Part of what we're going to have in Promise Neighborhood is a youth advisory board. We're going to have youth. They're going to come up with the solutions. They're going to talk about what the barriers. They're the ones that are going to college or not college, so they're going to be heavily involved. Work option for the poor. When you've given the choice of two things, you're always going for the poor and they're vulnerable, and you're helping build them. And one of the biggest components of the doctrines or the missions that we follow is the human dignity piece and component. And that really talks a lot into the Promised Neighborhood piece, is that it's not just meeting the basic needs, but every individual has the right to live to their fullest potential. Mm-hmm. So you might survive on a day-to-day basis, but is that the best that you can do, or is that the best that you want to do? So our mission is based upon that for Catholic Charities, but we are not a church.
We're okay. And we mentioned a little bit about HIV case management. Do you follow the doctrines of the church as far as that kind of stuff goes? Is it?
HIV case management is focusing on individuals who have an illness. They're very vulnerable. And so the focus and the intention is very much within the mission of helping them improve their life, live with human dignity, and live to their fullest potential.
Mm-hmm. But for instance, there wouldn't be counseling that would be advocate for condom use or something like that?
Well, with the Catholic Charities, we're talking always about safety in your AIDS services. Condom use is not directly connected to your AIDS. Once you have it, that piece and component. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of medical professionals out there in the field that can help with that kind of information.
Okay. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. This is At Issue. We're on WGXC 90.7 FM. We're with Teresa Lux, the Executive Director of Catholic Charities of Columbia and Greene County. And we'll be right back on At Issue. We'll be right back. back. We're going to just get a little bit more in depth into the Promised Neighborhood Grant and talk a little bit more about some of the individual components to it, just so that people understand it. And for people who are just joining us, I'm with Teresa Lux, who's the executive director of Catholic Charities. Catholic Charities will be the lead agency on this Promised Neighborhood Grant, which is a federal grant that aims to increase graduation rates and participation in college and basically improve neighborhoods in as many ways as possible, but particularly focused on education. So, Teresa, maybe you could give us a little bit more in-depth background on the grant and where we're going with it.
Sure. As I said earlier, we had started a year and a half ago. A small group in the sense we have to start somewhere, and when you look at all the individuals that could be involved, it just can become overwhelming. But Catholic Charities of Columbia Greene County does substance abuse prevention education throughout the county, but in particular in the Hudson City School District. We do a lot of work in the after-school program. So I've got two prevention educators in the after-school program, and Kathy Clark, the director there, works with them. And those three started talking about, wow, this is a great opportunity. This Promised Neighborhood could really transform things, could really make a difference for the children and giving them opportunities and providing them hope. And linked up with it, well, you know, this seems very much in line with what Catholic Charities strives to do and improve for that human dignity piece and component. So I started with conversations with the Hudson City School District, and just those preliminary conversations about what it is, what it can do, and is this something where we really want to delve into. And I give the Hudson City School District an incredible amount of credit for opening up and saying, we want someone to come work with us. We want to partner with the lead agency to do this Promised Neighborhood. And by saying that, that means we're willing to open up our doors and open up our procedures and our processes to be examined as what's working or not working. You know, in order to recognize the positives, you also are going to recognize the things that aren't working so successfully. So I commend them greatly for saying, yeah, we're ready to take this journey, and we'll see what comes as the end result. We also met with the Columbia County Department of Social Services, Paul Mossman and Deb Amerling, Jack Howe from the city school district, but Assistant Superintendent Maria Sattmeyer has been very heavily involved. So there was a core group there, as well as Candace LaRue and Associates, who does some grant writing. They did some grant writing for the after-school program, and mm-hmm. they actually were the ones who wrote the narrative for us. It's incredible that they were able to take all of the conversations that we had from six or seven people, and some of the individuals came and went. We had the Mental Health Association, and the hospital was there, and the mental health, and we had probation came at one point. There's all these people that kept coming and going in dialogue, and they were able to take all of that and weave it together. And
there's a real art to that grant writing.
It was incredible. And then, of course, you know, we review that, and we looked at it, and I'm reading this in the review, and I'm thinking, wow, yeah, that is what we all did say, and it was incredible. They did a great job. Mm-hmm. So we did focus a lot on the earlier childhood piece and component, recognizing that the children are not totally prepared. Not all of them. There are some wonderful, successful children out there, and they're doing a great job, and they're going to be great in order for us to say, well, what is it that your child is doing, or what have you done with your child that has allowed them to be successful? Because we want to replicate that with another child who's struggling. And the best way to do it is to really talk to the individuals. So there'll mm-hmm. be a survey. Every child will be represented. Either the child themselves will fill out the survey, or their parent. And that's over 2,000 individuals in the Hudson wow. City School District. If we can't get to all of them, then there's this little percentage thing, and representative sampling, and we'll do that. But it's a lot, but it's not a huge amount,
sure.
so that it's very doable.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where we're
going. And ideally, you really would want to hear from everybody.
Absolutely, because everyone is so different. And I think that's one of the nice, beautiful things, is that you, doing this survey, you can recognize the individual needs. As I said before, I have some ideas of what I think is successful and some ideas of what some of the barriers are, but I don't live in Hudson. I have to, I live in Columbia County, but I don't live in Hudson. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be very different for the individuals who go to that school district than what I think.
Right.
And I love this opportunity, not to think for somebody, but to have somebody tell me exactly what it is that they need. So after we do this survey piece and component, and with all of the proper paperwork that needs to be done with the consents, we're going to be working with an internal review board. This is actually considered human research, so it has to go through many different layers and steps and be approved in order to do that. Then we're going to incorporate some of the school records and some of the community records. One of the end results of this process is we're going to have a database, a longitudinal database, that will be able to follow and track progress, keeping everybody's information completely anonymous and confidential, but to be able to follow along and see, yep, they had A, B, C, and D, and look at the end result. They missed B, and their result was very different. Mm-hmm. So that is one of those tangible things that we're going to have at the end, mm-hmm. in addition to increasing scores and all of those nice things.
So in other words, the data is really much about finding out what works and what doesn't work.
Yes.
That's great.
Yep. And incorporating it. That's one way to get the data. Another way is having groups, having conversations with individuals, having town hall kind of meetings and dialogues, because you can get a lot of information when you just give everyone the opportunity to talk, mm-hmm. and to present. And as well scripted as the survey is going to be, it's not going to be completely inclusive and comprehensive, in the sense that feeding off of individuals in a group setting and having conversation will lead from one thing to another thing and lead to another thing. So we're going to be having a couple community dinners as well throughout the planning year.
Mm-hmm.
Our goal also is to have some ambassadors. We look at our youth advisory board as ambassadors to the youth, being energized and focused. And this is a great opportunity and to kind of help work with the youth. But we also want to have some ambassadors with some of the parents. And we would like to very much bring a couple of parents down to see Harlem Children's Zone in New York City.
Mm-hmm.
That's where this all started, is when the community individuals went and saw it and thought, this is great, this is wonderful, this can be so fantastic, and it really energized them. They, well, you know what better way, let's bring some parents down there, let them see it, let them see how successful it can be and some of the programs that they do down there, how great that can be, mm-hmm. so they can be energized and then come back and they can kind of spread it like a ripple effect in a wave. So.
Right.
That's another action step that we're going to do.
For people who want to know more about what we're talking about, you could Google Harlem Children's Zone or Google Promised Neighborhoods, and you'll find a lot more information about what we're talking about here. And it's a big, complex program, but has had great success and really great potential for our area.
Absolutely. And one of the things that we're going to be doing locally is we're going to be setting up a Catholic Charities website, and there will be a section for Promised Neighborhood, so that we're going to keep track of everything on an ongoing basis. So you'll be able to follow along with us how things are going. We'll set up an email address so that you can email questions, and we really want this to be community input, and it's with the community. It's not for mm-hmm. the community, but it's with the community. There's no way to be successful unless you want it to be successful. So we want to have all these open doors to allow lots of involvement.
Right. Is there a timetable here? Is there, like, when does the stuff ramp up? And
our grant actually started January 1st. So
get to work.
I have been. I've been very busy even prior to that.
Uh-huh.
I'm in the process of interviewing for the project director who will oversee it, as well as I just appointed one of the senior prevention educators, Mary Minahan. She's going to be the youth advisory board coordinator. It's just part of one of her duties in working with the youth. So we're going to start getting ready and recruiting the youth.
Mm-hmm.
There'll be 15 youth on this board. They will learn all the skills of working in a group and making decisions. They're going to make recommendations, write reports on what the recommendations are and that kind of thing. So that's the, I just had a meeting with them actually this morning, mm-hmm. the youth advisory board coordinator, saying, this is your first project. We need some youth now. Let's go get them.
Mm-hmm.
And we really want it to be representative of the district. Mm-hmm. Again, not just the city, but the entire district.
Sure.
Mixture of ages. We're looking for some teens for that.
For those who don't know, the Hudson City School District encompasses a number of other towns surrounding Hudson. Greenport, part of Stockport, Livingston, part of Livingston, part of Claverick as well. So it's a much bigger district than what some people would think. Where do you see the well, I really like the idea of the student advisory or the youth advisory committee. So how are those people chosen, and as far as the staff goes, are you hiring staff? Is there more people to come, or
there will be more positions that will be out and posted. The youth advisory board coordinator is an internal staff, and it's just part of her responsibilities. We just finished up another grant, so that opened up the door in order to provide the time for this. But for the youth, we are going to be looking for them to do a little essay, why they want to be involved in it, and also that supplying a recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be from a community member, it can be from a school, it can be from a sports organization, a church organization. But we're looking for youth across the spectrum, those that have intentions to go to college, those that have intentions not to go to college.
Mm-hmm.
We really need to have it match the representation and delve into kind of the thoughts of how they got to be where they are.
Mm-hmm.
They do need to be comfortable talking with other children, because that will be part of it.
Sure.
Working with some groups and that kind of thing.
And is it only people who are enrolled in school now, or could it be people who have graduated, or what is there an age range?
We were looking around 15 to 18.
Mm-hmm.
But you do not necessarily have to be in school. You don't necessarily have to be going to the Hudson City School, but you do have to be in the Hudson City School District. You can be a homeschooler,
mm-hmm.
or you could be somebody who's already decided that I'm done with school, because you're representing individuals that are here in our district.
So if there were young people who were interested in serving in this role, how would they get plugged in to do that?
They can give us a call at Catholic Charities at 828-8660. And we're going to put some information in the paper shortly.
Mm-hmm. So if you're out there and you're thinking that if you think you know how to make things better, then this is a good way to offer your expertise. And sometimes people who are in the situations themselves really do have the best ideas. And I think that's a lot of what you're talking about. You really want to have people involved who really know the situation on the ground. And
absolutely.
So if you are a young person and are interested in trying to make things better in your community, this might be a great way to serve your neighbors and your community by offering your insight. And this would be a great, great opportunity. What else would you like to tell our listeners about the program?
Some of the other positions that we're going to be hiring for shortly will be a data coordinator. There's a lot of data and information that will be coming through, an early childhood coordinator focusing again on those areas, and a community coordinator. We're going to do the best of our ability to keep everything very local.
Mm-hmm.
There are limited funds. It sounds like a lot of money, but it goes really fast. But there are funds like our community dinners. They're going to be throughout the district. They will be from vendors that are throughout the district. I look at this opportunity of bringing some dollars into the area as a way to help stimulate that, because that is part of that piece that needs to be stimulated is the economy. So
mm-hmm.
we're going to look to do as much of that as we can.
So tell us a little bit about what else Catholic Charities does. What are your other missions, and how could people get plugged into it as well? We'll sort of follow up there. But
sure. The WIC program, which is the Women, Infant, and Children program, is our next biggest project program that we have, and that serves pregnant moms if they've just had the baby or if they're breastfeeding, as well as children up to the age of 5. One of the misconceptions with that is that it's just an opportunity to come in and get a check, which then you take to a store and you match with the food, and that is true. But it's an education program,
mm-hmm.
so we've started groups. We call them child chats when you come in, and we'll have a group of moms that will come in, and they'll sit together, and they'll have a little bit of a conversation, a 10-15 minute conversation around some kind of educational piece and component. When to end the bottle, when to introduce the sippy cup, juice, milk, those kind of pieces and components, so that it's more than just getting funds to supplement the food. It's giving that knowledge piece again to help further everyone's education piece and component.
Right. Nutrition.
Yep. We also, for that program, we have an office here in Hudson. We have an office in Catskill, but then we travel to different sites. We go to Chatham, and we go to Volusia, and we go to Copaic. And in Greene County, we're in Coxsackie. And we were in Prattsville, but we were displaced because of Irene, but we were fortunate enough to move to Windham. So we're still able to stay up there on the mountaintop, which is one of the nice things about our program for the WIC, as well as the food stamp enrollment, is that we travel. We're not stationary looking at, we cover a vast amount in the county. We need to be able to move, recognizing that transportation is not always the easiest for many individuals.
Right. And that's as opposed to DSS, who just basically sit in their offices and
they have quite a full workload over there.
I understand that. But there's not, but there really is no outreach from there. I mean, you're doing the outreach.
And that is what the grant was intended. It's facilitated through Hunger Solutions of New York, and that is part of what it is that we can get out there and we can do the education. Mm-hmm. We can go to the individuals that can't come in and streamline the process for them.
And then you run an alcohol and substance abuse program as well.
We used to have a chemical dependency program where we would do treatment. Right now, we have just the education component, helping individuals stay away from making those decisions. I feel that fits very much in with our mission, as in that you're not going to be able to live to your fullest potential if you're under the influence, as well as cigarettes, alcohol. They're really expensive, as well as some of the other drugs. So you're not going to be able to be out of poverty if your fund is misdirected in that arena. So we are heavily involved in the schools, in the after-school program, and then we also do some special programs. In Chatham, we go to the Sean's Run, and we're at these fairs. We're working with the anti-bullying group in Chatham as well. So we just finished an underage drinking campaign, helping remind everybody that, if we can keep the alcohol out of children when they're young, when they're not able, the brains aren't fully developed to make the best choices, then we have a better chance of their survival.
So that was a little bit of a controversial piece as well. I mean, last December there was there were a number of raids, or not raids, but
police details.
Right, at a number of establishments in Hudson, and I know that you got a little bit of a pushback on that. So what are your thoughts about that? Are you still running that operation?
That was a 2-year contract, and that contract just ended at the end of December, but we did continue to run and work with the different police departments in Hudson as well in Columbia County. It was twofold. The grant, the way it was written, encompassed having education, getting the information out, as well as supplying some funds for police to do details. That falls totally within the realm of what the police will do. There was education done around it. There was publicity that they would be checking for IDs around the holiday time. The holiday season, kids off from school break, a little bit more relaxed downtime. Lots of people enjoying the holiday season is a really key area to stay tuned to alcohol issues, and particularly providing them to the youth. So, yes, there were a couple of restaurants that did have some arrests as a result of not following, checking for the IDs or following those laws. And I do still get backlash. We had an auction in October, and some individuals said, no, I'm not going to donate to you. You cost me this much money and that kind of thing. And my response is that I didn't cost the money. The rules are there. Whether we agree with them or not is a totally different issue, but we have to follow them. And Catholic Charities' focus is on human dignity and preserving the best. And if a child is drinking, they're not living to their best. And unfortunately, if somebody dies in an accident, then it's even worse. So the best way to do it is just to keep the alcohol out of their hands from the very beginning.
Right. and I noticed on your brochure here that it says that you offer immigration services. So what does that entail?
Sure. We work with Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Albany. I call them my parent company because we are Catholic Charities of the Diocese of Albany, doing business as Catholic Charities of Columbia Green County. And so we will help with filling out the paperwork and the process that is required for immigration. There's a department up there that will help that. What the beauty of our organization is that we're local. We're Catholic Charities of Columbia Green, and we're attending to the needs of the local communities. And immigration is a need that we have in our communities. Mm-hmm. But we are large, and that we're in Catholic Charities Diocese of Albany, so we have the resources and we have the knowledge and the means to tackle some of the bigger problems and issues that will come up.
So what kind of services are you offering? Do you offer services regardless of their immigration status? Are you helping people sort of become legal? Is that part of what it is?
I don't have the full details because that is run through the Diocese of Albany, but what we can do is take the information and we can help refer and make the connection so that they can work with that. But I know that they have worked with individuals helping them with their legal status and citizenship.
Uh-huh. And what are the services that maybe we don't know about that you offer, or what does Catholic Charities do that maybe is something that you're proud of but people may not know about so much?
Our kinship program is a wonderful program where it's like a case management program. We're working individually with families, but it's a whole new world for children when they are placed with somebody other than their parents. And there are many reasons. Their parents might be deployed and they need to be out in the military, or they're ill and they can no longer care for them. There are other reasons that they're incarcerated or they have substance abuse and they can no longer care for them. But the world that the children were in is completely changed now when they go to a caregiver. And even if it's a family member, it's disjointed.
Mm-hmm.
But going to a family member is so much better than going to a stranger.
Right.
But those caregivers need support. It's a whole new world. Raising your child and now raising your grandchild is a completely different thing. Things mm-hmm. have changed. So we're able to go in and help them secure the status of the child, get the paperwork that is needed so they can take them to the doctor, so they can take them to the schools and get them enrolled.
Mm-hmm.
There is a funding available through the child-only TANF grant to help support the child in the home. So we help them get that fund. We help them with the paperwork so that they can get the money that they're going to need because their household has just increased.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's a lot of the networking of what resources. Children might need some mental health counseling, so we help link them up with that. They might be having issues in school. So we work with them kind of on a short-term basis or a longer term, depending upon the family's needs, to get kind of adjusted and situated and settled so that then they can independently go on. It's a huge transition for everybody involved. So it's pretty exciting that we're able to help them with that.
We mentioned the term that keeps coming up probably repeatedly is early childhood education. And so what are we talking about there? Is it preschool? Are we talking Head Start?
It goes back to that cradle to college. We're going right from the very beginning, prenatal care, having your prenatal care when you're an infant, 1, 2 on up.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to be working a lot with Columbia Opportunities with the Head Start program. That is some of the first introduction for some of the children's into a social setting or into some kind of educational setting.
Right.
But also looking at, there are a lot of children in informal care during the days, with the neighbors, with the grandparents, or with an older sibling watching them. So we want to work with them as well as what are the children doing during their hours of the day,
mm-hmm.
and are they doing what is the best and most productive for them.
And what is the agency's relationship with Columbia Opportunities?
We have worked with Columbia Opportunities in a couple different realms. A couple years ago, I was doing some consulting with them in the classroom and helping them do some environmental strategies and working individually with some behavior management plans for the children. We continue to do a program once a month called Coffee and Conversation. We do some parenting support groups or educational groups.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a representative from our WIC program on the Policy Council, where we're serving the same population and we're serving the same age, and it just makes sense that we work together.
Sure. And does Catholic Charities do hospice care and that kind of thing, or is that handled Is that a separate agency or something?
That is a separate agency, but we do have a sister agency, Catholic Charities Caregivers, that will help with respite care for individuals that are caring for their elder parents. Mm-hmm. They can certainly call us at 828-8660, and we can give them the referral information. And that's a couple of things that are listed in our brochure are other agencies that serve our counties that we know about, and we can help make the links for everybody.
And does Catholic Charities have a website, or is that...
They do have a website at www.rcda.org.
RCDA, what is that?
Roman Catholic Diocese of Albany.
Oh, okay. is there anything else that you wanted to let our people know about?
I'm just very thankful that the school, the other organizations, the community as a whole are willing to allow us to make life a little bit better. And I'm really excited about the opportunity to provide hope and dreams for the children of the future. It's an incredible responsibility, at the same time an incredible privilege. And I'm looking forward to the year ahead.
That's great. So we're going to take another break, and we'll be right back. This is At Issue on WGXC.org. Thank Teresa Lux for joining us today. Teresa is the executive director of Catholic Charities of Columbia and Greene County. We have a few more minutes left, so I'm going to just talk about some of the stuff in the news. Let's see. Mayor Hallenbeck, Hudson City Mayor Hallenbeck, has now made his last appointment. And that was Jack Connor, who's the who was the current city attorney and is now going to be the acting city judge, taking Richard Koik's place. Richard Koik was the elected county judge and has stepped down from his seat as city judge of Hudson. What else we have here? And it appears that in today's Register Star, there's an article about Acres Co-op Acres will be running a winter market in the same building as our studio. It's 702 Columbia Street. Sounds like the indoor market will begin January 7th. And will take place on the ground floor of our building here in Hudson, right on 7th Street Park. So we're very excited about having them here. I'm going to be attending the governor's State of the State message today up at the Empire State Convention Center. And I'll be recording that and perhaps reporting on it a little later on the afternoon show. There's also a number of protests going on in Albany today in conjunction with the State of the State, particularly on the fracking issue. And I know that there'll be reports on that on the afternoon show as well. So tune in later. Coming up next is Al Jazeera English. Al Jazeera English can be heard every weekday here on WGXC at 11 o'clock. And we have a lot going on. This week will be the organizational meeting for the Columbia County Board of Supervisors, where it's expected that Pat Gratton, the supervisor in Kinderhook, will take the chair position, which is a big switch. It's a Gratton had been, although he's a Republican, had been often on opposite sides of the powers that be in the previous Board of Supervisors, which was chaired by Roy Brown, the supervisor from Germantown. And so it's going to be interesting to see Republican opposition kind of take the reins and see what he does with it. Certainly on the Democratic side, we hope for a more open government and more sharing of power. And we'll see if that comes to be. Certainly, Gratton had been vocal about the secrecy and about the unilateral decisions made by Chairman Brown, and was often critical of his administration. So it should be interesting to see him take the reins and see where he goes with it. So I think that's it for me for this week. We'll have a few station IDs and public service announcements, and then proceed with Al Jazeera English. I want to thank you for listening. I want to thank my guest today, Teresa Lux from Catholic Charities, and remind you to listen again. We have a Facebook page. It's facebook.com/@issue spelled out. And I post archives there and upcoming guests. And so please join us there and like our page there, and we'll keep you up to date. And we'll see you next week. Thanks again for listening to At Issue on WGXE.
T-Man, your local astrologer on WGXC, 90.7 on your FM dial. From this week on, we're going to begin having a phone-in on the astrology show between 3 o'clock and 3:30, and so you're more than welcome to phone in at 518-828-0290 and ask questions about astrology, tarot, or the mystic arts. We very much look forward to receiving your calls.
Hi, this is Mark Ruffalo, and you're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM, Accra.
Hi, I'm Mia Lobel, an independent radio producer here in the Hudson Valley. I'm working with WGXC on a series about the post office. We've all heard that the U.S. Postal Service is in crisis. They're threatening to shut down hundreds of post offices across